This is the Diamond Hogs Podcast with Mason Choate and Robert Stewart.
Welcome to the Diamond Hogs Podcast. I'm your host, Mason Choate, joined by my good friend, Robert Stewart. And your Arkansas Razorbacks, ranked number 3 in the country, are 12-1 at this point in the season. You got a series against Portland coming up this weekend. And on this episode of the Diamond Hogs Podcast, we're going to be talking about the series against Charlotte and a couple of midweek games against Louisiana Monroe. The Razorbacks, across those five games, go 5-0, Robert. It was not a piece of cake against Charlotte. So there's some stuff that, you know, I think it's worth being concerned about. But then you think about the midweek games against Louisiana Monroe and the way they were swinging the bat. And, you know, you got some positives, you got some negatives, and they still have plenty of stuff to figure out before SEC play gets started, Robert, which, I mean, this is the last weekend before SEC play. So go ahead and mark that down in your head, folks. And, Robert, overall thoughts about the Charlotte series. Let's start with that.
Yes, as you mentioned, it was sort of uncomfortable, right? A lot of close games. One run on Friday, three runs on Saturday. There was a tie game in the seventh, and then another one-run game that had to walk off in the bottom of the ninth on Sunday. So, yeah, it was uncomfortable for sure. I was encouraged. That's my main takeaway, is that the resiliency shown through last weekend. You know, we didn't really see a whole bunch of answers to runs. I guess I'm thinking about the first seven games in particular, right? Especially that Kansas State game, because I was at it. But they just rallied so well, right? They gave up 4 to go down 9-1 on Friday, respond with 10, take a lead, hold it the rest of the game. You know, you look at the sixth inning, Charlotte goes up 4-3 on Saturday. They come back with two of their own to go ahead, you know, surrender the lead again in the seventh, but then respond with three more. And, you know, the two times Charlotte scored were the seventh and the ninth on Sunday. The Hawks scored in both of the bottom halves of those innings. So I'm very encouraged by what I saw from the offense striking back. You know, the pitching wasn't pretty. Gackle, namely, right? Only got three innings, I think, out of him. Gave up 8 earned on 10 hits. So, like you said, you know, one more week to sort of work the kinks out, and then it's full speed ahead to the finish with 10 weeks of conference play, right? But I think the intangibles sort of proved themselves or made themselves known this week, and I'm encouraged.
Yeah. You know, so we can go and get into Friday's game, which I'm glad that you mentioned it, because it was encouraging. You're down 8-1, and then you come back and you storm back. And,
9-1.
And I was a little distracted, but it was 9-1, and then you come back and it takes one half inning, and you got the lead. And I wasn't watching this game. I was listening to it on the radio, actually, in the middle of the ocean, and I remember telling people, and I was with a few fellow Razorback fans, and I was like, yeah, Arkansas was down 8. I thought it was 8-1. I didn't know they went down 9-1. And they literally came back with 10 runs in the bottom of the fourth. And that's one of those things that when you say that to somebody, you're like, no way. They really did that? And that's what Arkansas did in this game. So, yeah, Robert, that was encouraging. But to get in that hole, I mean – I don't think we should be worried about Gabe Gackle. And Dave Van Horn was asked about him on Wednesday. You know, you feel good about Gabe, and I don't have the word for word in front of me, but I think that Dave Van Horn's not concerned. And this happened with Hagen Smith a couple times. So I don't think we should be worried about Gabe Gackle. Are we worried about Gabe Gackle?
I don't think so. I really any pitcher who has a bad outing, especially if he plays for Arkansas, I am going to give him one bad game, right?
If you want to get into the nitty gritty, this is kind of really to Gabe Gackle's standards, two bad games in a row for him.
Sure.
What do you have? 4 or 5 walks in Arlington? I think he had 4.
I guess he did have 4 walks in Arlington, didn't he?
Yeah. That's an uncharacteristically high number for him.
It is, and yet he was an out away from a quality start, right? It was definitely not his best start by his standards, as you mentioned, but I think he battled well in that game.
He did. You know, it was a bad start in that game. And then he recovered. Because, I mean, we were sitting there wondering, like, how the heck is Gabe Kackel still in this game right now?
It's amazing that he made it through 5 2/3, and then only three, pitched into the fourth inning, but gave up a couple of knocks. It was the hits this time, right? I think we were
10
talking
of
about,
them.
we were talking about Christian Fauch in our group chat over the weekend about how he's had a couple different kinds of rough outings in a row. I guess you could say the same for Gackle, right? It was the walks in Arlington. It was the hits in Fayetteville last weekend. Unless he puts up an ugly stat line like that again, I'm not worried about him.
So for somebody who wasn't watching this, I mean, was it anything? Was anything going on? Was he just like throwing it right down the middle? What from do you have any analysis of maybe what went wrong?
So I was working during that game, and it
Oh.
was also 4 games ago, so I don't really remember it that well. But
Frick Robert.
maybe Dave Van Horn does if you got a transcript.
I'll try to find the transcript. We'll talk about the rest of this. So his line, 3 innings, 9 earned runs on 10 hits, 1 walk, 3 strikeouts for Gabe Gackel. And then you go to Dylan Carter for an inning, Colin Fisher for two, Parker
Was
Coyle
it
for
nine?
two.
I thought it was only eight.
What are you talking about?
Earned runs.
On the official box score, it's 9. So, and then you got to Christian Fauch there at the end. So, I mean, the official box score could be wrong, Robert. If you really, if, I mean, this is history that we're talking about, so we need to get it right.
Maybe my own records are wrong, but
I remember on the radio hearing that Gackle was charged with 9 in the end.
fascinating. Okay, well, you keep talking. I'm gonna go over my notes here
I
because
did Carter let an inherited runner score? That might have been what happened. Okay, you
Carter.
go through your notes, and I'll talk about this. So we should go through the bottom of the fourth inning here. So you started it off with a leadoff homer to right center for Maxwell. That was encouraging to see. Back-to-back walks for Iredale and Cujillo Aloy. Cam Kojal with a single. Load the bases. Then you got a Rocco Pepi 2 RBI double. This was just a heck of an inning. So Iredale and Aloy score on that. Justin Thomas Jr. with an RBI single scores Pepi. So everybody's getting in on it. Then Maxwell comes around again, hits a single. What happened here? Did Bejava Aloy get a hit? How did Bejava Aloy get on? Oh, Bejava Aloy walked before Maxwell. Then Maxwell hits an RBI single. My goodness, what an inning. Kojal with another RBI single. If you were on Twitter, Robert, you would have tweeted out that what's that GIF that you like to tweet out?
The Bugs Bunny Gas House Gorillas Congo line around the bases. Yeah, they almost batted around twice in that inning.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I looking at this Gackle thing, he had a runner thrown out at home, which would have been his ninth run, but I'm pretty sure that he has been charged with one too many runs. I think the ninth run should be charged to Carter because it was Carter's first batter who came around to score.
Okay.
Run.
So
So
we
maybe
could, are we changing his, are we changing history right now live? Do I need to text somebody?
I think you should text somebody. Yes, this should be a historic moment.
I think you should text them because that would be a more likely text to come from you than me.
I should go over this with Hutch because
Yes.
he's a fellow stat nerd.
Yes. Hutch would be able to determine if you're right or wrong, and then he would be glad to reach out and figure that out for
Yes, he
you.
would.
So,
In fact, I'm just going to go ahead and do that right now.
okay. While you do that, so I mentioned the 10 runs there in the bottom of the fourth, and then the only other run for Arkansas in this game was a home run to left field for Charles Davalon in the third inning. So, you get all of your scoring out of the way in the third and the fourth if you're Arkansas. Charlotte gets another run in the sixth to make it interesting, 11-10. But your pitching gets it done, man. I mean, between Parker Coyle and Christian Fauch the last 3 innings, that's 3 scoreless, 4 strikeouts, no walks, no hits. Not bad. You'll take that. Robert, and I know you're in the middle of something, but how did Christian Fauch look? Do you remember? I know you said you were at work, and this might be bad. Here's the thing. You're listening to a Razorback Baseball podcast with two guys who are at work Or one guy not watching, one guy at work during the game.
Okay, so this part I do remember because it was after I had gotten off. Usually, like, so I get off at 6 Eastern, and these games start at 4, so I can watch like the last few innings usually.
Okay.
Christian Pouch hit a couple of guys back to back, and like he recovered well, right? It was a one run game. He put two runners on back to back with one out, got a strikeout, got a ground out. So he recovered nicely, but he really put himself in a jam too.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's good to know that he recovered from that. 'Cause I mean,
Yeah.
that's a one run ball game at the time. He could have ruined that.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you get your text sent? Are we good?
Almost. His
Almost.
last
Okay,
batter
so
was thrown.
anyways, Friday you win it 11-10. So then Saturday you got an 8-5 win over Charlotte. Zach Root in the start, 8 strikeouts across 5 1/3. He did give up 3 runs on 5 hits and walked 2 batters. So here we go again. You're in the first inning. Charlotte goes up 2-0, and you're like, what the heck is up with this Charlotte 49ers team just taking it to the Razorbacks? And but this time you didn't get in as much of a hole. You didn't score in the bottom of the first, but you get one in the second, 2 in the third, and you're up 3-2 by that point. So a little bit of run support for Mr. Root, Robert.
One thing that I wanted to mention about the first game that also applies to the second game is just how well they hit with runners in scoring position, right? 6 for 13 on Friday, that was part of the conga line around the bases. And then another four knocks on Saturday. It came from all over the lineup, 10 hits again, right? You look at Brent Iredale with two, Kuei Aloy with two. Is Kuei Aloy the hottest hitter on the planet right now?
Yeah, I've wanted to tweet that out probably like 20 times, but I feel like everybody else is tweeting the same thing, so whatever.
Just ridiculous what we're watching the younger Aloy do right now. I mean, you heard about it on all the broadcasts in the early part of the season last year, right? The way he was out slugging his brother, who we thought was impressive in Fayetteville.
Well, it should be said, and you weren't really part of this, but when Kuei Aloy committed to Arkansas, there were a lot of people who were like, what are we going to do with this guy? What role is he going to play? Is he even going to play? Like, because he kind of cooled off the second half of the year with BYU. He doesn't really have a position, and it's not like his hitting numbers were just necessarily incredible. And so there were a lot of people, and I remember on our message board on hogbeat.com, HAWGBEAT.com, go subscribe today. I remember on our message board, people didn't really believe in Kuei Aloy, and now look where he's at. Look where he's at, Robert. You're talking about, we should pull up the SEC stats. I bet he's top of the league in a lot of different stats.
He's got to be. I mean, he could go 2 for 4 for every game the rest of the season, and his average would go down.
Yeah, that's the thing is he went 2 for 4 on in game 2 on Wednesday, and his average went down.
It's nuts what we're witnessing.
Yeah.
Where is his OPS? I guess I can pull up the team stats.
Do they
Do
do?
do do.
Oh, OPS, he leads the SEC 1.822.
1800. That's absurd.
Oh, I'm sorry. He does not lead the SEC. Gavin Kylan is, I assume, how you say this, from Tennessee, 1.823. So he's got,
Wow, one whole point.
yeah, just a little bit more there. What do their numbers look like? This dude from Tennessee, seven home run, but only 19 RBI. Kuei Aloy, 6 home runs, 26 RBI. So his 26 RBI do lead the SEC.
And he had 10 against ULM in 2 games.
He's got 20 hits, 5 doubles, 6 home runs, so 11 extra base hits. 11, more than 50% of his hits are extra base hits.
Yeah, it's otherworldly stuff. And like you said, his numbers dropped off last year. He's about to have to start facing a lot better pitching. I have a feeling he may return to earth to a degree.
Yeah.
But it is definitely pretty cool to see the two Arkansas hit leaders being Aloys.
Yeah. Another notable thing about Cujillo, only 7 strikeouts and 7 walks. So, could be worse there as well.
Yeah.
Could be worse there as well. All right.
But just texted me back, so I'm trying to read this.
What does he say?
because it was a fielder's choice that his last runner was thrown out on, that's like he still is charged with having a base runner exist. So that ninth run still gets charged to Gackle, even though the guy he allowed to reach was thrown out.
Okay.
That's kind of a hard thing to explain, but
No, it makes
hopefully that made
sense.
some sense.
No, it makes sense to me, and I'm glad that we texted Hutch first because I would have looked like an idiot on account of you. So,
Anyway, so glad we got that out, within the span of like 10 minutes.
yep. So in this game too, we mentioned it. We were kind of talking about it. I think we had gotten to we talked about Zach Root and the first inning Charlotte plates two. But then the Razorbacks there in the bottom of the second, Robert, you get an RBI double from Kuhio Aloy. Who else? Who else but Kuhio Aloy? And then Logan Maxwell, his second home run in as many days, a two-run homer to give the Hogs a lead there in the bottom of the third. Logan Maxwell, who we talked about, Dave Van Horn said it, this guy can flat out hit. And at one point when it was just the Aloys and Brent Iredale who had homered for Arkansas, my pick for guy not named those guys to home run for Arkansas was Logan Maxwell. It ended up being Ryder Helfrich, who was the next guy to hit a home run. But Logan Maxwell swinging the bat well.
Yeah, he is. And we've seen him in both corner outfields now, right? So we have a pretty good feeling about him, his hamstring being healthy at this point, right? Playing the outfield every day, like you said, can flat out hit. We saw a home run to center field in that game, home run to right field in the game before. So he's just really getting it done. Let's see if I can pull up the series stats. Logan Maxwell went 6 for 14. That's a 429 average, 1324 OPS. Drove in 5 runs with not just those two swings, but just very good overall on the weekend.
Yeah. You love to see it from Logan Maxwell. So then,
He was tied with Kuhio Aloy for the most hits on the weekend.
yeah. Charlotte did take the lead again there in the top of the sixth, Robert. So,
Yeah, so Zach Root fell out of line for the win, but as I mentioned earlier, they responded and took the lead right back.
yep. So,
Little squeeze play from Ryder Helfrich to give him the lead after an RBI fielder's choice from Nolan Souza.
yeah, how did the Hogs take the lead in this one? I wasn't watching.
It was walks. Couple walks from Diggs and Kuhio Aloy to start the inning. Looks like Cam Kojal with the base hit to load him up, and then Souza grounded beat out a double play ball. So got himself an RBI. Run was going to score anyway, and then Helfrich with that squeeze play
Yeah.
to put him on top.
All right. anything else you need to add from that game? We do need to kind of hurry this up because we've got to talk about the Louisiana Monroe games, a little bit of Portland stuff.
Aidan Jimenez looked really good out of the pen. 2 scoreless innings, 4 strikeouts, did give up a few base runners, but three strikeouts in the seventh, coming in after a leadoff walk, gave up an inherited run, but pitched well enough to get the win thanks to, like you said, run support earlier. Kuhio Aloy with the home run after an RBI double from Brent Iredale.
Carson
And then
Wiggins there at the
Carson
end.
Wiggins getting the save, yeah.
Yeah, good for him.
One,
All
two,
right,
three, 2 strikeouts.
game three, Arkansas wins it 4-3.
Walks
Lineup
off 4-3.
walks it off 4-3. Lineup, Justin Thomas Jr., when I'm just looking at it here, hitting leadoff, man. Gabe Frazier was in here. Carson Bowles, man, DVH.
It was very different.
Landon Bidalsheese goes 6 1/3, only 1 run on 4 hits, 7 strikeouts, 1 walk for the Ohio State transfer, Robert.
Yeah, he was really efficient all game. I mean, he as the innings went on, there were more pitches to an inning, but got the first four guys, only gave up one base runner through 3 innings, gave up a home run to start the seventh, and eventually got pulled after a walk. But yeah, I mean, he was just really efficient. Never dealt with, I guess, only one time he had multiple runners on base. It turns out that was really what they needed because the offense definitely slowed down a little bit. Got 13 hits, but Looked a lot more like the first couple weeks where they just couldn't get them across.
Yep, left 10 on base in this one. And you also had, looks like Christian Fouts kind of blew up a little bit in his outing in this one.
Okay, this is what I was thinking of. Like, obviously he bounced back on Friday, but yeah, Christian Fouts did not have a good showing in the, what was it, eighth, ninth inning?
It was the
Yeah,
top of the
well,
ninth.
yeah, he brought him on for a save up by two, single, hit by pitch, single. So that's three hit batters on the weekend, and gave up that second single did drive in a run, so it was 3-2 by the time he got pulled. And Will McIntyre comes in, gives up the inherited run on a fielder's choice, but did retire or did get three outs against three batters. So McIntyre did a really good job in a clutch spot there.
Yeah, that's the Will McIntyre that you need, is that version of Will McIntyre. Now, the Christian Fouts thing, slightly concerning. I mean, I feel like Jake Faerty went through stuff like this where, just a flame-throwing guy that has all the potential in the world but cannot locate. And that it hasn't really been an issue with Christian Fouts that much or this much until now, I don't think though.
Fouch has also, had the good fortune of being healthy more often than Faraday ever was. But
Absolutely.
yeah, I don't know if he's going to be able to go twice a weekend like this. It just hasn't been working out the past couple weeks. So they may need to reimagine his role, because I do still think he can be effective. But especially, if you've got Carson Wiggins pitching effectively in a save situation, I think he could be the closer. Now, you of course run the risk of, maybe he's not effective if you trot him out two or three times a weekend.
Yeah.
But Will McIntyre also showed that he could do it if necessary.
They've got options because, I mean, even Gage Wood is an option that could go
Right.
to the back of the bullpen if needed. And
Right. Like I was saying last week, right? The starters need to make Gage really work hard to get his spot in the rotation back.
yeah.
I think the closer role would be great for Gage.
Another guy that I feel like we've talked about so much, and Dave Van Horn talks about him all the time, is Hunter Dietz, and he's supposed to be throwing a live hitters today on Thursday, Robert. So you can get a guy like that back too. I think, were you here his freshman fall, Hunter Dietz? I want to say that you were, but maybe you were not. Either way, his freshman fall, which was not fall 24, but fall of 23, so you probably weren't
Yeah,
here.
I would have been gone.
Okay, he was dominant, man. He was probably the best pitcher, just even statistically, success wise, of anybody on the team. He can throw 97. He's a lefty. He was a highly touted prospect out of Florida, and he just hasn't been healthy since he's got here. And they're hoping
Yeah.
that they can get him healthy because Dave Van Horn, every time he talks about him, says that Hunter Dietz will really help them.
I mean, if I recall, he looked good in his one or two showings last year.
They brought him in. Oh, I can't. I couldn't believe when they brought him in, and it was his debut, and I don't ex remember the situation exactly, but Tommy White was coming up, and LSU had runners on, and it was a very stressful situation. We need to pull this up actually before we get to the Louisiana Monroe game, because this was a crazy move by Dave Van Horn to do this to Hunter Dietz. It was not game two. Not game one. Had to have been game three then. Hunter Dietz, here we go. Brady Tigert started this one, gave up four earned runs on five hits. So Tigert goes to, so Dietz had to have come in the eighth. So, oh no, I know what it was. He brought in Dietz, and it was like the heart of LSU's lineup, and Arkansas was only up by one, I think. And so he brings in Hunter Dietz in the top of the eighth, and the first batter he was facing was Tommy White. So he walks Tommy White, gives up a single. Hayden Travinsky comes up, or no, Jared Jones. He strikes out Jared Jones, and
That's
then
huge.
he gets Hayden Travinsky to ground out, hits a batter, and then Will McIntyre came in and got a strikeout to end it. Could have been worse.
I mean, welcome to the show, kid. Good Lord.
That was crazy. And then I think he only pitched one more time after that, and that was it. So Hunter Dietz is a guy that they could use.
Now here's a guy.
Now here's a guy. So, all right, before we move on to the Louisiana Monroe games, let's tell you about hogbeat.com, HAWGBEAT.com. If you're wondering, man, I really wish I could listen to the Diamond Hogs podcast and know what's going on with the Arkansas baseball team. Well, you can do that on a daily basis on hogbeat.com, HAWGBEAT.com. I'm the publisher of the website. If you go over to our community on the Trough message board for less than $10 a month, less than $100 a year, you can get all of the Arkansas baseball information you need. I'm on there every day chatting it up with everybody, bringing inside information, not just for baseball, but also Arkansas basketball. Jackson Collier, JC Hoops, does it better than anybody. He's tied into the program better than anybody. So if you need that basketball info, we got that there. Also, football. Myself and Riley McFerrin, there's no better duo as far as transfer portal and football coverage goes. Check us out. Spring football right around the corner, Robert. We're talking to Sam Pittman today, and if you can't tell by the look on my face, I am so excited for spring football.
Nothing like spring football taking away attention from the third-ranked baseball team.
Do you think you excited about the QB competition for the Hogs, Robert? That
This is
Taylen Green, man, I just don't know if he's gonna cut it, man. He's just a running back playing quarterback.
yeah. All right. So is Tim Tebow. He won a Heisman.
Oh man, what? Anyways, let's not talk football. Okay.
Charlotte, when we were previewing them, nothing really struck me as impressive from an offensive standpoint. They were a very formidable opponent. I think that team is going to play well in the American this year.
Charlotte, a team that Bobby Petrino interviewed for their head coach position this offseason. So
How about
there you go. There's another tie.
that? Loop it all back to football.
Yep. There. I think their head coach's name was Biff Poggy. I think that's what his name was.
That is one hell of a name.
Yeah, he would wear sleeveless shirts on the sideline.
One other thing about Charlotte, their third base coach, former DVH guy. I don't remember how to say his name, Philip Sibehar.
I don't know, man.
But they had a cool lineup exchange moment on Sunday. I'm sure it was cool for him to go back and play against DVH.
Yeah. Well, cool, man. Good for them. They have not updated the schedule online with the wins over Louisiana Monroe. So are they 12-1? What's their record? I think it's 12-1. Pulling up my game. My gamer. Yeah, they're 12-1.
There you go. Yeah,
So
14-1 on Tuesday.
well, that was actually technically it was Wednesday. So
Technically, it was Wednesday. That's right.
The weather was bad Tuesday. It rained all morning. I didn't know if they were going to get it in, and they decided to play,
They
and
should have been able to get it in.
they should have. And they get all the way to runners on second and third, no outs, bottom of the seventh. Arkansas is up 10-1. All you need is just that little old runner at third to cross home. Just go 90 feet, and then
They
they're like, "Nope, weather delay."
also could have just not given up the run in the top of the seventh.
That too, but like, look, I know Lightning's 8 miles away, but just throw him a meatball, let him hit it, and let's not have to finish this tomorrow.
Or throw it to the backstop.
That too, that's fine too. Just let's not waste our time. Anyways, that it's a weather
A
delay,
20-hour and 46-minute weather delay, if I have my times right.
and so they send it to the weather delay, and then. Like, I don't know, 30 minutes later or whatever, they say that it's unplayable conditions and they're pushing it to 2 o'clock on Wednesday. We restart 5 minutes later. Cujillo Aloy, bink, grand slam. Who else but Cujillo Aloy with the grand
Yeah.
slam to walk it off? Hogs win 14-1, Robert.
Hottest hitter on the planet.
That
Also,
was
a couple of long balls in that game from Brent Iredale and Ryder Helfrich.
yes. So it was a good game for the Razorbacks. They another massive bottom of the fourth inning. They scored 6 runs on 5 hits. Excuse me, in the bottom of the fourth of this one. Cujillo Aloy batted in 6 runs in this one. Bejava Aloy had a 3-hit game. Cam Kojal had a solo home run in this one. Drove in 2 runs of his own. 15 hits for the Razorbacks, Robert. 8 of those came with runners in scoring position. And they were a perfect 6 for 6 in getting the leadoff man aboard in this one.
Six for six, so shouldn't there be seven?
Maybe it should be 7 for 7.
It
Yeah.
was seven for seven. That's impressive.
I don't know why I put six for I it's because I write the story before it's over. Yeah.
I got you. Yeah, I forgot to mention Kojo with the home run, but like you said, the six runs on the five hits in the fourth inning. It was like the fourth inning of the Friday Charlotte game, right? They have been known to take advantage of walks. There weren't that many, right? They got their hits too. It wasn't just, walk, 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 grand slam. I think that did happen in the Wednesday game, but they are showing ability to extend innings with knocks, and that's part of why I'm so encouraged by what I saw over the last week.
Yep. In this game, we did see Kuhio Aloy batting cleanup with Brent Iredale in the 5-hole. I don't know. Did they do that at any point over the weekend? I don't know.
I don't think they did. It was Iredale hitting cleanup all three games against Charlotte. And Kuhio Aloy did. He hit sixth on Saturday, but fifth the other two games.
Okay. So we did have an inning here in this game, Robert, where an Aloy drove in an Aloy. So
Yeah.
in the bottom of the third, Kuhio Aloy with an RBI single to score Vejeva Aloy. Cam Kojal's home run was a 401-foot oppo shot, which was that's pretty impressive from him. He's not a big guy. Colin Fisher looked great in the start
Colin
in this
Fisher looked
one.
great.
He looked incredible. He goes three scoreless, gives up one hit, strikes out six, one walk. Dylan Carter comes in with a little bit of cleanup duty, two scoreless. Aidan Jimenez gives up two hits in his one inning, but no runs. And then Cole Gibler is who we need to be mad at because Cole Gibler comes in. He does get three strikeouts and hit in the top of the seventh, but he did give up a run on two hits, and that was
And the run came with two outs.
and the run came with two outs, and that was why we needed the long weather delay. Not. You can't blame it on Cole Gibler, but if he doesn't give up that run, then the game's over.
That is true. Yeah, Aidan Jimenez with another scoreless inning. That was encouraging. I don't think he was thrilled with the way it went, right? Start with the two hits and, got a double play, but it was smoked to shortstop and runner at second didn't have enough time to get back. Some hard hit balls, ends with a strikeout, at least feels nice for Jimenez. And yeah, like you said, the run support was there. And I believe Cuillo knocked in Vejiva on Wednesday as well.
Yeah. Probably. We'll get to it.
One of two of his 10 RBIs in that two game set.
Yeah, the thing about Gibler and what happened with him though is that you don't have the Kuhio Aloy Grand Slam if that doesn't happen. So
That's true.
that actually you probably need that to happen. So Arkansas wins 14-1, and then the game so that they restarted this game at 2 o'clock and the game was over by 2:05. And the next game was scheduled to start at 3, but they decided we're just going to start it at 2:30. Started 30 minutes early, and the Razorbacks, another one, 15-3, walk-off run rule. Another walk-off home run. This time it was from another Hawaiian,
Nolan Souza.
Nolan Souza, 420-foot, three-run blast to walk this one off. Nobody in the Razorback lineup needed that one more than Nolan Souza, Robert.
Yeah, it was a great midweek set for him. Three knocks. He walked a couple of times on Wednesday as well, and obviously capping it off with the home run. It's got to feel great.
Yeah, it was a productive two midweek games for Arkansas because also in this second game that the Razorbacks won 15-3 in 7 innings, or was it 8 innings?
Seven.
7 innings. Kendall Diggs also hit a home run.
That's
So
right. His first of the year.
yeah, so that it was good for, it was good to see that. Charles Davalon hit a home run, I think, in this one.
Grand slam.
Kuhio Aloy hit another home run in this one. So a lot of good. A lot of offense and a lot of fun.
To correct myself earlier, I said Cuillo drove in Vejiva two times. It was three times because of that three run shot in the second game.
Okay. Well, Ben
Good showing
Bybee.
with the Moneyball guy on Wednesday as well. Two walks and a hit by pitch.
Who?
Justin Thomas Jr. In
In the first game or second game?
the second game.
Okay. Yeah.
He's just really living up to the role, right?
He didn't play in the first game, but yeah, and then so he
Reached
walks
three
twice,
times.
reached 3 times, and
Scored on two of them.
shout out Charles Davalon with the freaking 417-foot grand slam.
Yeah.
Not bad from your leadoff hitter.
Your leadoff hitter who reached his four times, his first four times up and scored on all four trips around the bases.
Yeah, a lot of offense in this one. Bahia Loy, he was hitting some doubles, man. Cojuelo Loy hits a 3-run home run, and then on the mound we saw Ben Bibee give up 3 runs on 5 hits in 4 innings in the start, and then you get 3 scoreless and hitless innings from Tate McGuire and Will McIntyre on the back end there.
Yeah, again, Will McIntyre looking really good. Liked what I saw from Tate McGuire. It was
Cape Cod All-Star Tate McGuire.
that's right. I was a little disappointed to see Bybee give up 3 runs in two different innings, and have those rallies start with two outs. Not really what you want to see, but at least they responded each time they gave up runs.
Yeah, so a productive 2 games for the Razorbacks, especially offensively against a Louisiana Monroe team that, let's just admit it, at least against Arkansas in these 2 games, they were not very good. I don't know how they're going to fare the rest of the year. I think they had 5 wins coming into this one, so it was a lot of get right for the Razorbacks in this one, or in these 2 ones.
Yeah, plenty to build off of going into this last weekend before SEC play. Like you said, I mean, just a great job. The 13 ULM walks from their staff was it's tough to watch when they pitch like that.
Yeah, that was one thing that Dave Van Horn said post game was he was happy with the way that they worked the counts, watched pitches, took advantage of getting guys on base. And I do want to scroll through some of these DVH quotes before we move on, just to make sure we're not missing anything notable. He said the offense is getting better. Oh, this is notable. He said Nolan Souza and Nate Thompson have gone in together and made adjustments on Souza at the plate. He said that, and then Souza said that he's cut down on like a lot of movement. I think he said especially keeping his head still. And he also said he's been working with Cujillo and Vejeva on his swing. So a lot of
Two
work going on with
good,
Nolan Souza.
two really good teammates to work with the way they're swinging it right now.
Yeah. So that was notable. What else? DVH. Oh, DVH did clarify the rotation is going to be the same in the same order. Gabe Gackel Friday, Zach Root Saturday, Landon Bidlesheese on Sunday.
There you go.
And then last thing, Cujillo Aloy, who is our honorary Hagen Smith worst quote of the year, he says, "If I'm up next, believe I'll be ready." So
There you go.
I think we believe you at this point. All you want to do is just see the ball and hit it far. Okay.
Yeah, and that's a good thing to do.
Yeah.
Interesting note from the spreadsheet here. Both Aloys went 5 for 9 against ULM and scored 3 times.
Okay. It's a brother thing.
Very, very symmetrical. It makes me happy.
Yeah. All right, let's talk a little bit about this 5-8 Portland baseball team from the West Coast Conference, Robert Stewart.
So if you have been paying somewhat close attention to college baseball generally, you know that Portland, what are they, the Pilots? They have thrown a perfect game this year. Ryan Rembes, I believe, is the guy's name, left-handed pitcher, made 3 relief appearances before that start, struck out 12 Seattle batters on 90 pitches, 27 up, 27 down. This was like 2 Tuesdays ago, February 25th. It was amazing stuff.
I didn't know that. Wow.
I didn't send it to our group chat because I thought surely you had seen it already, but
I'm not on Twitter the same way I used to be.
I see. Ryan Rembes, there's a name for you to know. I'm sure we'll be hearing a lot about his perfect game on the broadcast this weekend.
Okay.
He made his second start of the year on Monday in the fourth of a 4-game set against Utah Tech, went 5 innings, gave up 4 hits, 2 earned, 3 walks, and 8 strikeouts. So obviously not as good as the perfect game. Don't know if he's going to factor into the rotation at all in a three-game set because both of those starts I just mentioned came on a Tuesday and a Monday. So will be interesting to see if he factors in at all. Carter Gaston is a righty. He's got a 1.69 ERA. He's been their Friday guy from the looks of it. Somehow, despite that sub 2 ERA, he is 0-3 on the year. So not getting a lot of run support, looks like. Another righty named Curtis Hebert has started three games as well. He's got a 4.61 ERA. One thing I've noticed about this Portland team, got a lot of Shohei Ohtanis on their team. This guy, in addition to having started three games, has a 962 OPS at the plate. And then Caden Siegel's another righty. He made his first start last week, pitched into the sixth inning, gave up two earned. Again, this is against Utah Tech, so I don't know really what to make of that stat line. Could see him again. Another option they've got is a righty named Trey Swigert. He is also a two-way guy. He's got a 9.69 ERA, so not great. In two starts, they took him out of the rotation last week, I think. And then he's got a 1.111 OPS as well. So lots of two-way guys.
A lot of fun names on this team. Brady Bean leading the team in batting average. He's got 19 hits, so that's by far the team lead.
13 ribs as well.
13 ribs, two homers. They've got what, four guys with two homers: Jonas Salk, Zach Toglia, and Cole Katayama Stahl.
And if you know anything about science history, you know that is not Jonas Salk who invented the polio vaccine. That is just a baseball player who happens to share the same name.
Looking like they got my favorite name on their team is freshman shortstop Frankie Rutigliano. He's batting 318, seven hits. We need to get my boy Frankie some more ABs here. He has struck out 10 times though, so that's not good.
Well, maybe you'll get your wish and see him in person this weekend in Fayetteville.
Well, it's your boy Jonas Salk who's the starting shortstop. Jonas Salk is not cutting it. He's hitting 227 on the year. And we got
Yeah.
Frankie riding the pine, hitting 318.
I saw Salk was playing second this week.
Oh, okay. I'm just
It's
looking at their D1 baseball page and it says he's a shortstop, so
he the I just looked at box scores for the four game set against Utah Tech. He was playing second. Like you mentioned, Brady Bean, that's probably the name to look out for the most. Cole Katayama Stahl. I don't know if you mentioned him yet.
Yeah, I did.
He's been playing.
I said his name.
There you go. That's a fun name. He's been playing third, and he's got a near 1100 OPS as well. So, yeah, Salk and then Zach Toglia, the other corner infielder.
This Trey Swigert guy that you mentioned, the pitcher, he does have what, six at bats and he hit a home run in one of them, so
Yeah, his batting has been much better than his pitching, right? I think Swigert could make an impact,
yeah.
offensively.
That's fun.
Yeah.
I don't think you should be concerned about this Portland team on paper at all. This feels like the worst team they're gonna play so far.
Probably. And yet they've got somebody who's thrown a perfect game this year, so.
But this is all on paper too. It's hard to find info on this Portland team compared to really any team they've played.
It is right. And we were sitting here last week being like, oh, Charlotte, they're in a rebuild. They're not all that good. They kept every game
Yeah.
really close. I'm sure they covered the run line all 3 days.
Well, these are the teams that I feel like DVH always says are the hardest because you don't have a ton of film on them.
Right. I'm sure they're very difficult to scout.
Looking at the promotions this weekend, Robert, baseball card pack 1 of 4 on Saturday. First 1,000 fans and also kids run the bases on Sunday. So that must have been the reschedule from opening weekend. You're
There
sure
you go.
kids were supposed to run the bases opening weekend and they didn't get to.
Damn rainstorm, huh?
Yep. Okay. Well, the Razorbacks got three games this weekend, Robert. Portland coming to town, 3 o'clock on Friday, 2 o'clock on Saturday, noon on Sunday, all games on SEC Network Plus. And because we only do one episode a week nowadays, UCA on Tuesday, at 6 p.m. SEC Network Plus Childhood Cancer Awareness Game. So
Does that mean they're going to wear the yellow hats?
I don't know. Usually they do, I think. So we'll see. But yeah, reminder, one episode a week. We're not done, by the way. We haven't talked about Missouri. But reminder, one episode a week. A lot of people have been asking if we're on YouTube anymore. No, we're not. Only audio version, which you really only know that if you're listening to this because you're listening to it on the audio version. So tell your friends, and that's how it's going to be this year. This is how it's going to be, so accept it. Anyways, Robert, how is our Missouri bet tracking going? Have you still been doing it?
I have been looking at lines, and Missouri is not appearing as one of the offerings to me. I am still tracking their scores, but I have a feeling that we're gonna need to just do the 3 weeks of conference play before they play Arkansas if we're gonna do that exercise. They split a 4-game set with Evansville. Evansville, who you may recall won a regional and then was a game away from knocking off Tennessee on the way to Omaha.
Yes, I remember this. So
Yeah.
not a bad Evansville team, as much as I want to
No.
be angry about it.
No. So they beat him by 10 in the second half of a double. They swept a doubleheader. The Tigers did 6-2 and 17-7. But then the bookends, the Aces, I believe, is their mascot, came away with a 7-6 win on Friday and a 9-5 win on Sunday. And then they had their midweek postponed against SEMO. They've got Binghamton, and then it's LSU, Ole Miss, Texas, to start conference play. So we will track the spreads for those three series against the Tigers, the Rebs, and the Longhorns.
All right. Let's take a look at your SEC standings, Robert. Your two undefeated teams, Bama 14-0, Tennessee 13-0. Should be noted, sources are saying Tony Vitello is unhappy in Knoxville. And
So,
that is just videos I'm seeing posted of him being mad at the fans for not cheering for stuff. Apparently they had their center fielder run into the wall to catch a ball, and they didn't cheer for him when he came up to bat again.
fascinating.
And also, they have the player from North Carolina that transferred there, and they have a transfer that they got like right before the season who is not eligible yet. And Tony Vitello is mad that Tennessee fans are not making a big deal about it online to pressure people to get him to be eligible.
Huh. Okay.
So he's mad at Tennessee fans. It's kind of, I don't know if that would happen in Arkansas. You don't ever see DBH saying that he's upset with the way Arkansas fans are acting.
That is true. Anytime he chimes in about the fans, he is very appreciative of, the noise they make, the impact they have. Yeah, that's a good point.
Sources
I
are
guess
saying
he.
Tony Vitello is not happy in Knoxville, Robert.
Yeah, I mean, fresh off a national title too. That's you hate to see it.
Could be a bad breakup incoming. We're keeping an eye on it. We're gonna get boots on the. We do have boots on the ground. Loyal listener of the Diamond Hogs podcast,
Right.
Keldon Halverson, is there in Knoxville, Tennessee. Keldon, if you're listening to this, give me a call. We need to talk about Tony Vitello.
Our Knoxville correspondent.
Yeah. All right. Georgia, LSU, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Ole Miss, Kentucky, Texas, all with one loss. Florida. Two
Got
losses.
rumbled by UCF this week.
Yep. Florida, two losses. Auburn, 11-2. South Carolina, 11-3. Vandy, 10-3. And now we're getting to the trash here. Mississippi State, 8-4. Missouri, 6-6. And then the Texas A&M Aggies, the Fighting Texas Aggies are 7-5. What? Your
They
number one
lost.
team in the country, the chalk pick. I'm pretty sure Riley McFerrin on this podcast picked Texas A&M to win the SEC. Was it the SEC or the College World Series? I don't remember.
I don't remember. But they lost 4 games in a row as the number one team last week.
How embarrassing. I also bet against them on Wednesday and they won, so that sucked.
Yeah. They lost again on Tuesday, I'm pretty sure.
They beat Texas Southern on Wednesday. I know that for sure.
Pretty sure they lost to, I think it was Texas Southern. They probably just played two against Texas Southern, but yeah,
Probably.
they dropped a midweek, and it was the only leg of a 7-leg parlay that did not hit.
Yeah. So that you're fighting Texas Aggies are 7-5, folks. How
Dropped
embarrassing.
all the way to number 14, I believe, in the rankings after being number one for a while.
Just a stain on the league, just like Missouri is. A stain on the league. All right.
Guess which two teams will be playing in Fayetteville this year? The White Texas Aggies and the Missouri Tigers.
Okay. Sweet.
The trash of the SEC, as you said.
The basement of the league. Okay, well, we're excited about it. We are 1 weekend away from SEC play. And when SEC play gets in gear, that's when the real meat and potatoes starts to happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm sorry that the basketball team is going on a run and, distracting your focus, because next time we're talking, we'll be previewing Ole Miss.
The
Isn't that
stars
awesome?
are aligning for my life to be as difficult as possible over the next like 3 weeks.
I don't love that. Four games to go, and then we're talking about Ole Miss, man. I'm so
Yeah.
excited. It's SEC baseball season. We're right there.
Yep, we are. SEC baseball season, spring football season, and NCAA tournament season all in one. So let's get excited. Tell your friends about the Diamond Hogs podcast. Visit hogbeat.com, HAWGBEAT.com. Thank you, Robert, for your time. We'll talk to you guys next week.
You've been listening to the Diamond Hogs podcast. Follow the guys on Twitter @ChoteMason and @DRStew32.